sky will split. We shall hear the cry. He'll catch away his waiting bride to be at his side. We'll cross old Jordan, smelling tight, to live in heaven's paradise. Oh, what joy awaits us there forever. We shall reign.
We shall reign.
We shall reign.
We shall reign.
We shall reign. With our Lord in heaven, we shall reign. Won't you come and join along
on this journey
to our home?
Where we shall reign with Jesus. We shall reign. Yes, we shall reign.
Christ will be the light. There will never come a night in that city fair with my mom and dad and the saints of old. We're gonna walk right down the streets of gold to see the sights that ain't been told. Wherever we shall.
Great book of St. Luke, chapter 3, verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their heart of John, whether he was the Christ or not. Listen to that. John the Baptist had appeared on the scene. He was baptizing in the river of Jordan. And as he was baptizing, it says, and all the people were in expectation. And all of them mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. And John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Notice that. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I like that. I like that. Now listen, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Now you notice the word fire has appeared here twice. Number one, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then the effect of his ministry is going to bring about fire unquenchable. That speaks of judgment. And I want to preach this morning on a very important message. I want to preach on the Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. The Lord gave this to me in the middle of the night. It just arrested me. And I have been praying ever since for God to fill me with the fire of the Holy Ghost like I have never known in my life. Would you be seated, please? Keep your Bible open and listen carefully to the Holy Book, will you? Let the Word of God talk to us this morning. Let the Word of God speak deeply and profoundly into our hearts. The Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. There are some wonderful things to be learned about fire. I will talk about some of them in different ways as I try to preach this message this morning. But there's three things as far as the world thinks of fire that you must remember. Number one, the fire or a fire or the operation of fire is always a kind of excitement. There's something that goes with a fire that people like. Sitting in the woods a few days ago, in the evening after it became cool with a big fire, was exciting. It was enjoyable. I know of no one that doesn't enjoy a fire in the fireplace, or a fire at a picnic, or a fire at the right time, because there's something exciting about fire. And then there's something that's cleansing about fire. Fire reminds you of holiness. Fire reminds you of purity. Fire reminds you of something that is bigger than flesh and bigger than man and stronger than the hands of men or women. Fire is a special word about purity or holiness. And you always think of judgment when you think of fire. This is in the worldly sense. You always think of judgment when you think of fire. Remember that now, excitement and purity or holiness and judgment. Even the world understands fire in that light, in that understanding. And it's very much an intimate part of our world. Oh, if you would sit here and think of all the ways and all the things that fire has a part of in your life, you would be amazed. You would be amazed. You can't even plug in the radio without knowing there's a current, there's a fire that comes down the line to that radio that turns it on and brings the audio sounds into your hearing. That's just how important fire is in our world. Well, let me tell you, the missing element in today's church is the fire of the Holy Ghost. If there's anything that has been lost from today's church world, it is the fire of the Holy Ghost. I think we have forgot that the Holy Ghost cannot be understood without understanding fire. And that the Holy Ghost cannot baptize you unless there's fire from God involved in your life. The Holy Ghost and fire are inseparable. The Holy Ghost and fire are inseparable. You cannot separate the one from the other. Do we understand that? You can't separate fire from the Holy Ghost. If there's no fire in your life, just take it down and write it in your book. There's no Holy Ghost in your life. You may have had an experience. You may have had a good time of blessing. You may have experienced a little speaking in another language. But until the fire is there, the Holy Ghost has not taken over your life. The Holy Ghost and fire must go together. Now, as the church has lost the fire of the Holy Ghost, it has brought in other things to give a semblance of worship. Loud music is often used. The preacher becomes a cheerleader, and I'm guilty of some of that. I really am. Or we may have exciting things to tell, or exciting events that's going on. There's all kinds of ways to bring people into church and have a little excitement and a little satisfaction and a little sense of something real without it being the Holy Ghost. And that has happened in our today's world. Our today's world is mainly plans of men and operations and schemes of activities of men. And there's very little fire of the Holy Ghost in our day. And it's sad. It really is. It's heartbreaking to realize how absent the fire of the Holy Ghost is from our lives. Let's don't go out there and talk about somebody else. Let's start right here. How much fire have you got in your life? How much excitement of the Holy Ghost has flooded through your soul? How much of His thrill do you feel? How I like that. How much of His thrill do you feel when you come to the house of God? Does Brother Chambers have to excite you? Or do you have it in your heart to be excited? I want to tell you that the fire of the Holy Ghost will need nobody to encourage it. It'll need nobody to make it spring forth. The fire of the Holy Ghost will need nobody to add something on. I'm here to tell you the fire of the Holy Ghost will operate in your life, and you'll need nobody to get you to worship. You'll need nobody to make you happy. You'll need nobody to make you a witness. The fire of the Holy Ghost will do it. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, I like that. I like that. I am so grateful that through these 64 years, God has kept me full of the Holy Ghost. Well, 62 actually received the Holy Ghost 2 years after I was saved in a tent meeting, by the way, in the sawdust. Oh, I'll never forget it. It was real, and it's been real ever since. I've gone very few days in 62 years that I didn't hear the Holy Ghost witnessing in my heart and in my life, because I've got to have him. I've got to have him. I'm like David of the Old Testament, who said, "Take not your spirit from me." I cry out, "Take not your Holy Ghost from me." I wonder if you'd say that this morning. Take not your Holy Ghost from me. I've got to be full of this wonderful, wonderful Holy Ghost. Now, there's some things that will happen in a church that becomes full of the Holy Ghost like it ought to be. There's some things that will happen. And I want to tell you that the first one I can conceive of is the conviction of sinners and the glorious transformation of sinners in our altar. I promise you, if we will let God have his way in a new way in this church, and we'll become a Holy Ghost-filled congregation, not just a preacher and not just three or four of you, but all of us full of the Holy Ghost, you'll be bringing sinners in here, and they'll be wanting to get saved, and our church will become a harvest field. It will become a place of soul winning. I can remember when I was saved 64 years ago, and everybody considered it their business to be a soul winner. Everybody. We'd come to church on Sunday evening. That was evangelistic night. And everybody was bringing somebody. Everybody had a family in tow. Everybody had somebody in their car. Everybody had somebody that they'd got to come. And they would come. And almost every Sunday night, somebody's in the altar. And somebody's getting saved. And somebody's getting right with God. The sinners would sit on the pew and grip the back of the pew in front of them, because the conviction of God will get a hold of them. I want to tell you, that's the fire of the Holy Ghost at work. And nothing that the Holy Ghost does is more important than convicting sinners and bringing them to Calvary's tree. Say amen if you believe that, church. Oh, God, make us a soul winner. I promise you, you get full of the Holy Ghost like you ought to get. I promise you, you let the fire start burning like it ought to burn. You let the anointing of God be upon you as it ought to be. And I promise you, people will be conscious of what is happening in your life. And you'll become a soul winner. And you'll start helping somebody find the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope you're listening to that. Oh, I believe it with all of my heart. The first thing is the matter of conviction and soul winning. And the next result of the fire of the Holy Ghost is miracles of healing in the house of God. Miracles of healing in the house of God. I think of how few churches today that are Pentecostal that even pray for the sick, that have an anointing oil at the altar, that really take serious the miracle working power of the great God. I'm telling you, we need to understand, when the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning, not only will sinners get saved, but saints will get healed. I said saints will get healed. I said saints will get healed. And miracles will begin to appear in the house of God as they ought to be. Oh, I get amazed when I hear of churches that are so full of so many things, but nobody ever gets healed, and nobody ever has a miracle. And even the pastors spend as much time in the hospitals as the members do, and there's no consciousness of miracles. I've called so many preachers lately and prayed for them in their sickness and begged them, turn this thing over to God, my brother. Turn this thing over to the mighty healer. and he'll do it for you. Hallelujah. He's a great God, and he's a mighty healer. Raise your hand and praise him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost and fire is in the house, there'll be healing in the house. Can you say it with me? When the Holy Ghost and fire is in the house, there'll be healing in the house. I'm talking to us. I'm not preaching to the church down the street. I'm preaching to Paul Creek this morning. I'm preaching to Joe Chambers this morning. I am determined to see the gifts of the Holy Ghost as I've never seen them in my 64 years. I'm determined to see the healing of people, the mighty miracles of God. I want people to know that miracles are happening here until they begin to come just because they hear of miracles and they need one. Raise your hand now and help me. Holy Kotsibro, oh, you can depend on it. When the fire of the Holy Ghost is present, people are getting saved. If all you're doing is shouting, that's good. Keep on shouting. But go beyond a shout and get a hold of God for conviction and sinners saved. Amen? Amen? Great conviction and great conversion, great power. And then you can expect this, great persecution. Those three things go together. Conviction of sinners. Sinners start getting saved, and the church becomes a saving ground, a harvest field, and then people start getting healed, and miracles start happening, and people start having blinded eyes open, and lame legs healed, and deaf ears full of hearing. Hallelujah. And then they'll follow some persecution. That's okay. Persecution is wonderful because it spreads the word of what God is doing. Did you hear me? Persecution spreads the word of what God is doing. It spreads the word of Satan's resistance. Hallelujah. We often heard in the years past, when a pastor gets on fire for God, he'll have a revival or a riot. He'll have a revival or a riot. Hallelujah. And every preacher ought to be determined to have a revival or a riot. Hallelujah. Well, that's the Holy Ghost in fire. That's the Holy Ghost in fire. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this very day. So remember those things. Now, I want to try, if time will let me, to give you seven things in the Bible that fire does. Seven things in the Bible that fire does. Now you can chase each one of those to scriptures, or you can find plenty of verses to support what I'm saying. But I won't take time for that. I'm just going to give you the seven things and challenge you to get in your Bible and learn about the Holy Ghost and fire. I want to challenge you to learn about the Holy Ghost and fire. Help your preacher. Help your pastor to learn more himself. Pray for me until God gets a hold of me and shakes me over the very altars of heaven and brings me to great spiritual visitation until the Holy Ghost is at work. And then if you get me prayed through, then go to work on you. Or you may want to start with you and then come to me. It doesn't matter to me. I just want a Holy Ghost and fire revival. I want a Holy Ghost and fire revival. I want all of those listening to me on the internet or the YouTube or the radio, I want them to hear me when I say we've got to have a Holy Ghost revival. We've got to have a move of heaven. We've got to have the miracles of God. We're at the end of the road. We're right on the verge of the great rapture. Everybody that can be saved, we got to help get them saved. Everybody that can learn about God's glory, we got to help them learn about God's glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Number one, when the fire of the Holy Ghost moves, it eliminates the chill. Well, let's use the Bible word, the lukewarmness that has invaded somebody's life. The Holy Ghost eliminates lukewarmness. The Holy Ghost eliminates lukewarmness. If you're just sitting on a pew and you haven't won a soul in 10 years or 20 years, if you're just a good person paying your tithes and keeping the lights burning, that's wonderful. Don't ever let that stop. But remember, there's more to it than keeping the lights burning. There's more to it than tithing. And let the Holy Ghost heal you of the chill of lukewarmness. Let the Holy Ghost do something in your life that eliminates that sense of just kind of easy going and kind of coasting along and kind of occupying a pew or kind of living in the lukewarmness. Let's get the fire of the Holy Ghost, because I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will heal lukewarmness in a moment of his great touch. Hallelujah. Anybody? Anybody a candidate to get rid of your lukewarmness? Anybody a candidate for the fire of the Holy Ghost? Anybody a candidate to get yourself off that pew just sitting there when God's trying to do something and never moving until somebody makes you move? Are you willing to get rid of your lukewarmness and get the fire of God? Woo, hallelujah. I like my preaching. I believe it. I can't stand lukewarmness. Did you know what Jesus said about lukewarmness? I would you was either hot or cold, but because you are neither hot or cold, but lukewarm, he said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He actually used the word spew. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Can you understand that? I mean, understand that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're lukewarm. That wouldn't be fair. But if you're lukewarm, I want you to raise your heart. And I want you to say, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to get the fire burning. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost moving in my life. That's the first thing he does. He eliminates the chill of lukewarmness. All he does, you cannot study this Bible. You can read about anybody you want to read. When the Holy Ghost started moving, they started moving. When the Holy Ghost started stirring up the nest, they got stirred up in the nest. When God began to touch their hearts, there came a fire that set them aflame and started them moving for God. Hallelujah. Number two, the Holy Ghost is a fire that will make you victorious over everything the devil brings against you. Many years ago, I don't remember where I heard it and when it came to my thinking, but I remember the term, he that's on fire for God is too hot for the devil to handle. I remember when that came into my life. It's been at least 30 years, maybe 40 years. But from that time, I've tried to remember, if I'll stay on fire, the devil's going to be defeated. If I stay on fire, the devil's going to be whipped. If I stay on fire, the devil is going to be put to flight. If I stay on fire, I'm going to win, and I'm going to be victorious, and I'm going to have victory, and I'm going to have joy. I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost will set you on fire. The Holy Ghost will set you on fire. He'll put something in you that you've never had. He'll move you. You say, I'm afraid of somebody saying something. You get full of fire, you won't be afraid of nobody saying nothing. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, you listen to me. You get on fire with the Holy Ghost, and there's no such thing as fear that's going to hinder you. You get full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, and the devil can spew at you and fuss at you and scream at you, and you'll just keep on trucking. Hallelujah. The fire of the Holy Ghost will overcome everything the devil's got. You remember what the Bible said? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. If I could say this loud enough to get through to every ear in here, I would. I want to tell you, he who is on fire with the Holy Ghost is too hot for the devil to handle. He can't deal with you. He can't handle you. He can't stop you. He can't discourage you. He can't put you in a gloom. He can't get you to disobey. He can't make you careless about church. He can't keep you sitting at home when you ought to be in the house of God. He can't keep you sleeping late on Sunday morning when you need to be up in Sunday school. I'm telling you, when the holy fire of God gets to burning like God wants it to burn, everything about you will be victorious. Victorious. Holy Ghost and fire. Say it with me, would you? Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Now, how many understand that much of the Bible preaching today is nothing but the letter that killeth? Do you remember that term in the Bible? How many remember the term in the Bible? The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Hey, say that with me. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You know what the fire of the Holy Ghost does? The fire of the Holy Ghost will take this book in the hands or the lips or the fingers of any human being on the face of this earth. And he will set that dead letter on fire when it becomes like a fire shut up in the heart of individuals, and it will begin to change lives. So the fire of the Holy Ghost will turn the dead letter of the book into the living letter of God's word, God's revelation. The fire of the Holy Ghost will make the word come alive. The fire of the Holy Ghost will cause it to reach out, and it shall not return void, but shall accomplish the purpose whereunto the Lord hath sent it. Because the fire of the Holy Ghost makes the word come alive. Somebody raise your hand and just tell God, give us more of that fire. Give us more of that fire. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Chambers, why do you get so excited when you preach? I can't stand no other kind of preaching. I cannot stand it. I cannot stand it. Hallelujah. I got to have some fire when I'm preaching this book. And sometimes maybe it's just my enthusiasm. I preach some sermons like that. The Bible said preach the word in season and out of season. And sometimes I preach out of season, and I do it with all I've got. Oh, but when I can preach in season. Hallelujah. When the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes upon me, as I feel right now, I tell you that fire will change your life. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. I don't want to go too quickly there. I want to go too quickly. I called a man of the day who used to be a member here. He's a dear friend. We love one another. We've never had a crossword. And he told me where he was going to church. A church that doesn't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't even believe in speaking in tongues. And he was concerned. He said, let me tell you about the preacher's preaching. And he told me. I said, well, I understand. I said, you're talking about letter preaching. Letter preaching. Preaching the word is the letter. Preaching the word in academic fashion. Academic preaching was actually the word I used. Good academic preaching. He said, it's good. But there's nothing about it that moves you. There's nothing about that stirs you. Well, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? I mean, what are you doing there? I'm going to go to church where the Holy Ghost is upon the preacher. If the preacher don't have no Holy Ghost, you ain't going to have nothing. I'm telling you. Oh, I got to go where the Holy Ghost anoints the preacher. I got Brother Gans preaching our camp meeting in November this year. Well, November, December, after Thanksgiving. I've got Brother Gans coming. He said, Brother Chambers, I'm not no camp meeting preacher. I said, don't tell me what you are. I know what you are. You are a great preacher, and I want you to preach our camp meeting. And he's excited. I want to tell you, I love preaching that's got anointing to it. See, that's what the fire of the Holy Ghost does. I said, that's what the fire of the Holy Ghost does. And it's the same for the teacher. If you're a teacher and you haven't prayed until the Holy Ghost anoints your teaching, then you're not going to be effective. You may communicate some good little things, and you may say some wonderful things, and you may be able to take a teacher's manual and preach a pretty good, teach a pretty good lesson. But if you really want to bless your class and turn it upside down, you get so full of the Holy Ghost that your students can't stand to miss on Sunday morning. Oh, toddies. I like that. I didn't plan that one. You get so full of the Holy Ghost until your teaching has got fire in it. Until you stand there with sweetness on your heart and tears on your cheeks and a flow of the Holy Ghost. I'm not teaching, I'm not speaking this to nobody now in our school, church. I have no intent of that. That's not even in my thoughts. But I'm here to tell you, I love you. And if you get anointed of the Holy Ghost, you're going to make a difference. You're going to make a difference. God help us to understand that. Now, listen to me. Fire of the Holy Ghost. That's something that is so incredible. So incredible. You see, the Holy Ghost is a person. He is the third member of the divine Godhead. And everything the Father is, and everything the Son is, the Holy Ghost is the hand of that and the arm of that. And he takes all that God is and Jesus is and brings it into my and your life, and it goes to work on us. And one of the things that God the Father and God the Son is anxious for is to make you pure and to make you holy, to make you a sanctified vessel, to make you a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use, to make you a vessel that God can use. Well, only the Holy Ghost can do that cleansing and that creating of righteousness. He brings all the Father is, all the cross represents, and he manifests that sanctifying power inside of you, and it cleanses you, it purifies you, it changes you, it makes you pure, it makes you holy, it gives you a righteousness bigger than you are. Oh, said the Lord to my hallelujah. Would somebody praise the Lord this morning? The Holy Ghost is a quickening, cleansing of the human life. Oh, it takes fire. It takes fire. How do you extract gold from the big ore that's dug out of some gold mine somewhere? How do you extract the gold? How do you get the gold out of that ore? You set the hole on fire. And when you get the hole on fire, you know how you get pure gold? You got to put it through the furnace about seven times. Seven times. Seven times. That's how you get 99 point something perfect gold. And you know why you've been through some tough places? It's because God's trying to extract the gold. The Holy Ghost is trying to purify you. You know why you've been having criticisms and things have been going wrong? It's because God's trying to make gold out of you. And you know why it's hard for him? It's because you don't know how to react to him. And you don't yield to him. And you fuss about your hard places. And you growl when God puts you through the valley. Puts you through the hand of his divine correction. You don't listen to him. You go and do something you shouldn't do. You feel like you feel terrible about it, and you're convicted for a few hours, and then you go do it again, and it don't bother you much, and you go do it the third time, and it don't bother you at all, and before you know it, you're nothing but a little bit of gold hid somewhere in the ore, and you don't mean a thing to God's kingdom. You let God try you and purify you and cleanse you. You let God produce the gold. You let God get that old ore out of your life and get you full of the gold of his grace. Woo! Somebody, hallelujah. Am I preaching the truth? Am I preaching the truth? Let me see your hand if I'm preaching the truth. Am I preaching the truth? Listen to me. Listen. The fire of the Holy Ghost is the making of the gold. You look at the average church today, and there's not a semblance of holiness in the whole congregation. I weep. I got a good friend. How many remember Brother Keith Ivest? Led our music. That's a long time ago. Well, now he's the state overseer of Florida. Just got appointed to the state overseer. I'm fixing to call him and ask him if I can preach his camp meeting this coming year. I probably won't get to. But I'm going to actually ask him. I really am. Is it okay if I ask him? Amen. All right, he's going to let me. Listen to me, church. Let me tell you, the church world is so full of the world and worldliness, and they don't even understand it. They don't understand it because the only way they can come to understand it is there'll be a moving of the Holy Ghost that brings conviction into the atmosphere, that charges these hearts, that it become chilled with lukewarmness until the Holy Ghost can move. And I'll hear them say to me once in a while in some worldly church, man, we had a good Sunday night service, and it was so wonderful. And I'm thinking, well, what's going on? Why isn't nobody being changed? Why isn't somebody throwing the world away? Why isn't somebody quitting smoking and quitting these things of the flesh? I'll tell you why. Because it's just a little excitement that they create with the right kind of music and the right kind of cheerleader. When the Holy Ghost moves, he starts producing holiness. Do you hear me? When the Holy Ghost moves, he starts producing holiness. But he can only produce holiness if the vessel is yielded to the fire of the Spirit. He only can produce holiness if the vessel is yielded to the fire of the Spirit. Now, I didn't plan that, but I believe that. if the vessel is not yielded to the fire of the Holy Ghost, you will be just as worldly when the flame has settled as you were before it moved. But if you will respond, oh, if you're ready to respond, I got to see your hand. You got to help me. I got to know I'm reaching. I got to know you're listening to me. I got to know I'm touching you. How many of you want the Holy Ghost to just literally quench you and grip you and move through you and work in your life? And you're willing to be tried, and you're willing to go through the fire, and you're willing to be stormed by the enemy. You're willing to give him all you got and the best you got because you want the gold. Lord, I want the gold. Lord, I want the gold. Say it with me, will you? Lord, I want to be gold. Lord, I want to be gold. Lord, I want to be gold, Sister Marilyn. Lord, I want to be gold, Brother Dylan. I want to be gold. I want to be gold, Sister Vaughn. I want to be gold. And I know the only way is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand and say, Father, let the fire move in my life. Let the fire shake me and awake me and break through in me and cleanse me and purify me until I'm a vessel of honor, meet for the Master's use. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Number five, the greatest power in the universe is moved by fire. Think a little bit. Water can do some moving, a flood of great Niagara Falls, yeah? And wind can do some moving. The great turbines they're putting up to produce electricity, yeah? Wind can produce some power, and water can produce some power, but let me tell you where real power comes from. And that's from fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And even, Brother Steve, in those great turbines that you help make and create and redo and what all the things you do to them. He works in engineering. Where these big, huge turbines come that go to these great dams and flow of water and turn in those turbines, produce electricity. But you remember, while the water is turning the turbine, there's something in those generators that is a kind of fire being produced. Right, Brother Steve? And it wasn't for the fire that is in those generators, the turning of those turbines wouldn't do a thing for nobody. But because of fire, I'm telling you that fire is the greatest force in this universe. Well, let me tell you, beyond that, the Holy Ghost and fire is the greatest force in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The church without the fire of the Holy Ghost is nothing but a club. The church without the fire of the Holy Ghost is just an academic unit. The church without the fire of the Holy Ghost is just a meeting house. The church without the fire of the Holy Ghost is changing nobody. The church will be worldly and ungodly and full of evil. And that's the reason the Methodists just started ordaining lesbian women as being priests in their church. It's because long ago the fire dissipated. Can you imagine the Methodist church, the Episcopal church? Who's next? Lesbians in the pulpit? You say, you don't like lesbians? Of course I like lesbians. You get one saved and they're just like anybody else. But the sin of lesbianism is from the pit of hell. It's as dark as demons. And to think of a person in the pulpit who lives a lesbian life, goes to bed with other women, or men go to bed with other men, you're talking about sodomy. You're talking about the darkest sin on the face of this universe. Let me tell you something. If the Holy Ghost would start moving in Methodism, that thing would be shook to its foundation. There probably wouldn't be enough left to pay the light bill, but at least there'd be something pure about it. I'm here to tell you, the fire of the Holy Ghost is still real. The fire of the Holy Ghost is still real. If there's anything you need the fire of the Holy Ghost like you've never had it. Hallelujah. Glory. The fire of the Holy Ghost produces power. The fire of the Holy Ghost produces power. I got to try to get this rest to you. The fire of the Holy Ghost will absolutely be and always has been the evidence of God. How many of you knew when God came down on Mount Sinai that he left that whole mountain as black as soot, burned to a absolute, emptiness, and it's still black today. After 3,500 years, Mount Sinai is still on fire because God's Holy Ghost changes things in a way. I'm telling you, what did Paul say? He said, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? 120 men and women in that upper room had prayed and sanctified themselves until they belonged to God. And that great Holy Ghost came down like a glorious, move. The sounds that reached up into the heavens. And you know the first thing that happened was tongues of fire set upon each of them. Even before they spake in tongues, the tongues of fire set on their shoulder. I'd like to see a tongue of fire on your shoulder, Brother Danny. I'd like to see a tongue of fire on your shoulder, Brother Derek, Brother Dylan. I'd like to see a tongue of fire on your shoulder, Brother Jackie. I'd like to see a tongue of fire moving in this house. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when God comes, there'll be fire. Do you hear me? There'll be fire. You can go back and study the great revivals, and the churches would have tongues of fire sitting on the roof, and they called the fire department, and it was the kind of fire the fire department couldn't handle. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God is a consuming fire. I'm about to preach over time too long with us leaving, but I want to tell you something, church. There's one more, number seven, and that's the fire of judgment. God's fire of judgment is coming. Oh, you talk about destruction. You talk about calamity. You talk about darkness. This world is fixing to face something it has never faced in human history. The first time he cleaned it up with water. But this time he's going to clean it up with something that knows no defeat. And that's the fire of Almighty God. He's going to judge this earth. He's going to judge this whole system. He's going to judge everything that men have done. Do you know that your works are going to be judged by fire? Have you ever studied the judgment seat of Christ? And listen to what Paul said when he said, every man's works shall be tried by fire. Listen. Quietly listen. How many of you would like for God right now to take your whole time as a Christian, all your testimony and all your obedience and all your disobedience, all your carelessness and all your devotion, all your lackadaisiness, all your devotedness, and you'd like for God to try your whole life by fire? You would stand with a whole life around you, and the fire of God would sweep through it all. And the only thing that fire is going to leave is that which was done for the glory of the Lord and for the glory of Christ. Yeah, that's things that God has helped me do that would burn in a moment and be gone. Because maybe at that time, and I'm just being honest, maybe at that time I was concerned because I wanted somebody to see what I was doing. I've had some of those times. I'm human just like you are. But I don't want them no more. I want everything about me to be so pure that when that fire burns through my life, he doesn't find a thing but that which honors Jesus. How many of you would raise your hand as we come to conclusion of this message and say, Father, prove me in advance so that I don't have to be proved at that judgment seat. Clean me up now. Don't wait till then to clean me up. Judge me and check me and look at me and go through me like a fire from heaven now. See, the Holy Ghost is a fire that burns in lieu and before the fire of judgment burns. And the Holy Ghost moves to get us cleaned up from those things that would be exposed in the fire of judgment if they didn't get cleaned up. And I'm ready for God to take me. Would you stand if you're ready? Lord, I'm ready for you to take me and let me be a vessel. Let me be an instrument. Let the Holy Ghost and fire burn in my life as it has never burned in my days. Let me become so usable. Let me become so pure. Let me become so absolute Christ honoring that everything about Joe Chambers is for the glory of the Lord. And none of it for me and for my benefit. Everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, listen to me. Listen to me, church. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I want to be ready, don't you? I want to be totally His. I want everything about me to be on the altar for Him. Raise your hand and just wait on God a minute. Oh God, look through this building from end to end. Look at every heart in this house. Look at every person sitting here this morning. Look at Joe Chambers. Dear God, try me and prove me. Dear God, try me and prove me. Dear God, let your fire cleanse me now and don't wait till then. Let your fire somehow burn through me until everything that doesn't honor Christ is burned out. And that Joe Chambers is holy for the Lord. Oh, I love you, Father. I love you, sweet Holy Spirit. I love your fire, Lord. Would you meet me in this altar? Would everybody in this building who would say, Lord, I'm ready for you to get me ready. I'm ready for you to get me ready. Good to have this little lady from Maryland still with us this morning. God bless you, little lady. God bless you. Hallelujah. Get in this altar and throw your hands right straight up to Him and ask God, make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. Hallelujah, Lord. I've got to be a vessel. I've got to be.
That I love. Torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home. Heaven's throne, with the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when